Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Galatians chapter 5, we're going to start in the 22nd verse. We're going to take up this evening where we left off this morning, and you know, I forgot something, of course, this morning. How many of us are caught up on our daily Bible reading? Excellent. Keep it up. Keep it up. If you're not caught up, get caught up this week. We're going through some really interesting chapters right now. We got some great stuff that's coming up. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. It's a contrast here to the works of the flesh. We talked about that this morning. Here's another interesting thing about this, is that these kinds of qualities are presented: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. They're presented here as fruits of the Spirit. That is to say, that as we walk as Christians, following the New Testament which the Spirit gave us, this will be what's produced in us. Now, you understand that. People are very fond of the West Huntsville Church. We have a closeness here, and we grow together. And I tell you, we got to measure growth not just in numbers. We're growing in numbers, but we got to measure it even more by the fruit of the Spirit. Or growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, so here it's described as a product of living the Christian life and walking after the Spirit. But now over in 2 Peter 1:5, he says this. This is almost an identical list. I mean, you got, I don't know, four or five of these that are like the fruit of the Spirit. Watch this now. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. That means you became a Christian. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. And so, very similar lists here. In one place he says, these things are a product of walking after the Spirit and being a Christian. In the other text he says, now that you're a Christian, be sure you work on these things. So, two ways of presenting similar ideas. Now let's get back to our list. Kindness. Kindness. This one means what you think. I don't think I can define it for you in a way that will turn a light on for you, but I can tell you some things that I think are interesting about it. The Greek word for kindness here is the same root Greek word that's found over in Matthew chapter 11 and 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in the heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Watch this. For my yoke is easy. The word easy is the same root, the Greek root word, as found here, kindness, in Galatians chapter 5. And it means that that yoke that we wear of Jesus doesn't chafe us. It doesn't burden us. It doesn't bruise us. Kindness. Now, Julian was a Roman emperor in the middle of the 4th century A.D., he didn't like Christianity, and he wasn't a Christian. He was opposed to it, but in his writings, he wrote this, which I think is interesting. It's a compliment to Christians, and I want you to think about the fact that Christians have always been characterized by kindness. As children are coaxed with cake, so have these Christians enticed the poor to join them by kindness. Now remember, he's opposed to Christians. Strangers they have secured by hospitality. By affecting brotherly love, great moral purity, and honoring their dead, they have won the multitude. See, that's how Christians... You know why? You know why he observed that? Why that was in those early Christians? It's because of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. If you walk after the Spirit, that is, after the teachings of the New Testament that the Spirit gave us, one of the things that's going to be produced in you is kindness. Are you kind? What about in your home? What about as a wife? Many wives in this room. May I ask you a question? Are you kind? Sometimes we have this mistaken idea that God has this set of rules for Christians outside of their home, but somehow that there's a different set of laws or rules inside the home. And of course, that isn't true. How about husbands? You hard to live with? Are you? What about kindness? You practice kindness towards your wife? You practice kindness towards your parents? It's interesting to note that in the qualifications for elders, that so many of them are directly tied to an elder being a man who's kind. He can't be a striker. He can't be contentious. He has to be gentle. He has to be given to hospitality. All of these things are characteristic of somebody who is a kind person. It's very doubtful that anybody's going to really believe you're a Christian if they know that you're the opposite of kind. Now, here's the next one, gentle. And I know that that's not the next one in the list in the New Testament. I've pushed it up in the list for this reason. Kindness and gentleness are very often viewed as synonymous terms. And in fact, in the King James translation, the one that I've shown you tonight of kindness is translated gentleness. I'm using the New King James, and it makes this distinction. But they're very different words. Kindness means what we've just talked about and what you know of kindness. Gentleness is a different characteristic altogether. It is translated in the King James, this one is meekness. And it's about humility. It is that I don't get overinflated with my own importance. And you know how I like to define meekness? Meekness is having a cause bigger than yourself. When you read commentaries about meekness, it is very common for them to use the illustration of horses, and that horses are powerful, muscular, strong animals, and they can move on a dime, and they have such strength, and yet you see a man get on a horse that's well-trained, and with a bridle, he can go any direction he wants. That horse is going to stand there and take a saddle, and you strap it on tight, and you bridle him, and then you go anywhere you please with him. It isn't that he doesn't have the strength. It isn't that he couldn't go any direction he wanted. It's that he is under control. It is strength under control. That's a characteristic of people who live after the Spirit. It isn't that you couldn't choose to go in lots of different directions in your life that would be sinful. You have those choices. You know what God said to Cain? He said, anytime you want, you know, sin lies at the door. You always have that option. But a Christian doesn't take that option. And this is, therefore, somewhat like self-control that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes here. All right, here's the next one. Goodness. Goodness. Christians are good people. Now, this may be my favorite one on the list. And I know it sounds self-explanatory. Everybody knows what a good person is. But just follow me for a couple of minutes. Good doesn't always mean gentle, does it? That's easy enough to prove. I mean, is God good? Of course. But God opened up the earth and swallowed up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram one time and then closed up the earth. Not gentle. That was not gentle, but it was good. He is good. Jesus cleansed the temple. We talked about that last week. It was not gentle, but it was a result of goodness. A defendant who's committed some awful crime comes before the judge and he says, hey, Your Honor, I know you. We were kids together. Oh, you were always a good person. And you know, Your Honor, I know that because you're such a good man, that you're not going to sentence me to something awful. And the judge very well may respond, you know, I am a good man, but it's because I'm a good man that I'm going to sentence you to this penalty. Goodness isn't always gentleness. Now, having said that, I want you to set that aside. And the New Testament says, and let's talk about the more gentle side of goodness. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, that we do good unto all men, that's Christians, especially to them of the household of faith. That is one of the, a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. I love good people. Don't you? I love being part of this church because this church is populated, and I'm not flattering you. This is the truth. This church is populated with good people. Now, listen to this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 and 7. And it is a familiar passage, and we use it to talk about the sacrifice of Jesus and how remarkable and amazing it was. And Paul says this, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we usually focus on the last part of that verse because it's awesome. back up. R.L. Whiteside, in his book on Romans, explains the difference between righteous man and a good man. You know what? It's really hard to find somebody who would die for a righteous man. Now, what does that mean? Well, in its strict definition, the pure definition of righteous here, it just means purely just. That is to say, and this is not a bad characteristic, of course, but it's to say that if you're in a business deal involving wheat, Whiteside said, with a man who is purely righteous, at the division of the wheat, he will make it exactly right down to splitting the last kernel of wheat so that you and he get exactly the same amount in the deal. Now you feel good about you. You respect him because he's an honest man who treats you fairly, but he's going to do it to the very letter, to the very nth degree. Now you'd like a man like that, but you probably wouldn't die for him. That's what Paul says. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Good businessman, I like him, honest and all that. But then you go to the next step. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. What's the difference? A good man is different. A good man is not only honest and fair with you and you can trust him, but he will go a little farther. He's apt to benefit you in a deal. He will not only do what is exactly right, but he cares about you. And he's a man who is a good man is a generous man. He's a kind man. I have a friend who years ago dealt in Jack Russell Terrier dogs. You know Jack Russell? It's a little bit bigger than a Chihuahua, but he thinks he's a Rottweiler. It's a dog with a personality. He's an aggressive dog and kind of stout for his size. Kind of funny, really. And I liked him. But anyway, he bred and sold really a high line of Jack Russell Terrier dogs. Faithful Christian. And he said, when I sell a dog and a man comes to buy one, we make the deal. There may be some negotiation on the price or whatever. We strike the deal. I give him the dog. He gives me the money. And when every time, this is my practice, he said, when he starts walking out to his car, I stop him. Wait a minute. You know what? That dog's going to need. And then he says, I throw something extra on the deal. For example, he said, sometimes I will say, you're going to have to take that dog to the vet and get this shot. It's going to cost you $25. Bring him back here. Let me just go ahead and give him the shot now. I've got the serum, the stuff to do. I'll stick him now. And then, it won't cost you anything. It's on top of the deal. And the point was that he wanted to show that kindness so that when that man left and then later reflected back on this deal, what he would think about my friend was, he wasn't just, he was good to me. What this passage in Romans 5 says is that for a righteous man, scarcely anybody would die for him. But for a good man, that's different. For a good man, some would even dare to die. One of the ingredients or qualities that happens to a man when he follows the Spirit, that is, lives by the teaching of the Spirit in the New Testament. He follows after the Spirit. He walks after the Spirit. He said he becomes a good man. He's a generous man. He's gentle and kind, and he cares about you. Now, number four, faithful. He's a man of faithfulness. What do you think about faithfulness? Faithfulness is not so complicated either. It just means fidelity and dependability. All right? It's a person who is predictable. And in the practice of religion, a Christian who walks after the Spirit has predictability about him. Now, it's about a lot of things. It's about attitudes. It's about positions that he takes about truth and false things. It's about worship and his worship practices. He's very predictable, and sometimes we may feel uncomfortable about the word duty. You know, do you ever hear anybody say, I don't come to worship sometimes because I just don't feel it? Well, Christians, you know, faithful Christians who walk after the Spirit, like you, come to worship even out of a sense of duty. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad thing. I mean, I hope that you'll feel it too and you'll want to be it. And when you get here, you'll be a part of worship and you'll worship him with everything you've got. But you don't have to feel it. You just need to come and be part. It's a sense of duty. And this characteristic of walking after the Spirit is faithfulness. There's a predictability about a Christian. Now here's the last one. Self-control. This one's kind of amusing to me because in the King James, again, this is New King James. In the King James, of course, this is translated temperance. And during Prohibition and after Prohibition, the word temperance was adopted to mean abstain from alcohol. I think that for decades, there were lots of folks who read their Bibles and came across this fruit of the Spirit, this part of the fruit, and thought about abstinence from alcohol. But I mean, I would include that. I am in favor of abstinence from alcohol. You know that. But that's not all that's involved in this. This is a self-control that is rather encompassing. There are things that I could do that I won't do because I'm a Christian. There are choices that we make. Do you ever get really angry? Well, yeah. There are things you won't say. You may want to say them because you hit your thumb with that hammer, and you may think and want to say, but you don't say it because you're a Christian. You may find a fellow Christian and you're at odds about something, and you really think, I'd like to tell him what for, and you don't do it because of this quality. There's something about walking after the Spirit that creates a sensitivity in us and a resistance, a temperance in us, a self-control about things that I might have done before I became a Christian, but I'm not going to do them anymore. And the longer you're a Christian, the more this is true. Now, the fruit of the Spirit. I know that these are qualities that you have to work at. And that's how they're presented by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in 5. I know that. But in this passage, that's not Paul's point. Paul's point is saying, you want to know what's going to happen when you become a Christian and you start living this way? Do you know what happens to a person when they start studying the New Testament and walk after the Spirit? That's how we walk after the Spirit, is by learning from the New Testament. Do you know what's going to, this is what you're going to look like. This is the portrait of a person who has been following this kind of teaching. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me. That makes me really happy to be a Christian. Look at the list. See, the end of what Paul says here in Galatians 5, at the end of this list, he says this, against such there is no law. Why would anybody make a law against any of these things? You see, that's the kind of God you have right there. That's the personality, that's the character of God. And you might say that what happens when a person follows the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, This is how he becomes more like his Savior. Because isn't that a picture of Jesus Christ? You've been very kind to listen. I want you to know I'm thankful for you. I'm in a room of people who possess these qualities. I know that people possess them at varying degrees. But this is a great church. I'm not just a preacher flattering a congregation. I'm telling you, this is a great church. And it's great. Can you define it? Can you say why it's great? This is the list. This is the reason. And the degree to which we develop these things in our lives is the degree to which this church is great and continues to be great. This is how I want us to grow. This is it. And the reason why we love it so much here, I mean, all of us love being part of this family, is because of this. And you know who gave us that? The Holy Spirit gave us that. When he gave us the New Testament. Let's be faithful Christians. I hope you have a great week. I hope you have a wonderful week. And please keep the Lads to Leaders families, the kids, in your prayers as we make this trip to Nashville. And also really all over the country, the different conventions that we're talking about 20,000 people, that everybody will be safe and that God will bless us. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who wants to become a Christian. Now would be a great time to do that. New Testament teaches that to become a Christian is synonymous with being in Christ, being the Lord adds you to his church when you become a Christian. It's synonymous with having our sins forgiven. To do that, you must repent of your sins and confess Jesus. Romans 10 and verse 10, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be immersed in water, baptized, to have your sins forgiven. And you can do that tonight. That'd be a great time. Is there somebody here, on the other hand, who may need prayers? We always offer a time to pray. And if you need that in your life, maybe because you need to be restored, now would be a wonderful time. We're going to stand and sing together. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.